For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the second hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Sorry about my voice there. We are excited to be with you. We want to talk to you about all the latest news today. We'll have some friends joining too. Will Cain from Fox News at 2:30. Also going to be joined by Newt Gingrich later on this hour. But we want to talk to you first about the crime in major cities across America. Why is it happening? I mean, what's really going on? What do you think if you live in a place like San Francisco? Well, what do you think if you live in a place that is telling you increasingly, just deal with property crime? It's not that big a deal. They steal your bike. They steal your laptop. They steal your wallet, your iPhone, whatever it may be. Maybe they need it more than you. Don't defend yourself, and definitely don't expect law enforcement to come in a hurry and do something about it. What does that do to society? We often focus on murders. We focus on the highest profile, most heinous crimes when looking at a crime wave in a place like San Fran. And yes, in 2020, there was about a 30% increase in murders, and it's still much higher this year, 2021, than it was they always want to say pre-pandemic. It's really pre the rise of BLM 2.0. The pandemic was not actually something that caused an increase in crime or violence in other countries around the world. In fact, they saw drops. You had fewer people interacting with each other. You had fewer people out, more people in their homes. Ah, but the rise of BLM, undermining of police, progressive prosecutors deciding no cash bail allowed, let people out, don't punish them, and we see the consequences. The consequences are apparent here in New York City, where I am, where I live, there's no question about it. And even some Democrats are starting to figure this out. The property crime in San Francisco specifically has become so widespread that people increasingly find themselves just leaving. They don't want to deal with it anymore. And here is a woman named Michelle Tandler. Her thread on Twitter went viral. And Clay, I just want to tell folks some of what she says here, so they get a sense of what it means to be in a big Democrat-controlled blue city. She writes, "One of my best friends in San Francisco was burglarized and robbed last week while sleeping. 2 days later, she saw three men peering into her backyard. She called the San Francisco Police Department sobbing. They did not come. I've never lived someplace where the government just doesn't care about you," she said. She and her husband are going to turn their home into a security fortress, motion detectors, lights, cameras. "I was told next time I have to say they have a weapon," she told me. "Be careful," I warned. "That could get you into trouble." I explained to her San Francisco has laws which could give someone the right to sue her for calling the cops if they aren't committing a crime. So what should she do if she sees people peering into her yard? I have no idea. Clay, there's so much here, but just first, this notion of, "I've never lived someplace where the government just doesn't care about you." Welcome to Live Dystopia, everybody. That's what's going on.
We keep saying it, and I think it's worth contemplating here. A absence of the law and an absence of punishment and an absence of jail time is a luxury of low crime rates. People can sit around and they can debate in the faculty lounge and they can debate inside of the prosecutor's office. Oh, you know what? We're putting people in prison for too long. We're treating criminals too harshly when crime goes down substantially. But when it comes back, and it always does, it's a circle, then immediately people say, you know what? It's time to lock them up and throw away the key. And Buck, we're repeating history all over again. In the 70s and the 80s, crime skyrocketed in this country. And what happened? Democrats, ironically, including Joe Biden himself, came up with the three strikes and you're out law that flooded our prisons with criminals, put more police on the street, and what happened? Crime plummeted. Rudy Giuliani in New York City led the charge. Cities became safer. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, didn't matter who you were. You felt comfortable walking through Central Park. You wanted to go to Times Square instead of the peep shows. It had turned into Disneyland, right? And then what happens? All of a sudden, people take for granted the low crime rates. All of people start to make arguments. Oh, we're being unfair. Why are we putting these people in prison? And you let them out. $1,000 bail in Milwaukee. What happens? Guy gets behind the wheel. He mows through a crowd of people. Time after time, we are seeing the people who are committing the crimes, Buck, they ain't first-time offenders. They've got long rap sheets, including the guys, by the way, that Kyle Rittenhouse shot in Kenosha. And there is suddenly, you can feel it all over the country, even in San Francisco, even in L.A., even in New York City, liberal blue city bastions, people are saying it's time to give police back the ability to do their jobs and lock these guys up.
There's that line that a conservative is a liberal who's been mugged by reality. And what you're seeing in major cities across the country is that a conservative is now just a liberal who was mugged and who actually understands, or at least a moderate maybe, is a liberal who has been mugged and says, what the heck is going on? Why is this rising in my neighborhood, in my town, my city? And the authorities are all talking about prison reform. The authorities are talking about getting people back on the streets faster. And they made, let's not forget, while we have this huge rise in crime across the country, that is a fact. We have the numbers. This isn't some perception. The biggest increase in 100 years in murders in 1 year in America has occurred in the last 12 to 18 months. And here we are now seeing that these results are catastrophic. They're horrific. What were the Democrats focused in on that whole time? Racist cops shooting unarmed black men. BLM. That's what they wanted to talk about. Oh, really? That was the primary issue of law enforcement during that period. That's what we're supposed to be all focused in on. And then you have the idiot politicians out there. And there are so many of them. De Blasio in New York, maybe the worst mayor in the country. I think he is the worst mayor in the country. But there's a lot of bad mayors. London Breed of San Francisco. In response to the viral video now of, I believe, and it might have been the Chicago mass retail theft, organized retail theft that occurred. It's tough to keep them all straight, Clay, because we all see the video of it, right? But I think it was the one in California. There were 80 people who ran into a store and just stole, you know, $10,000 handbags as fast as they could. London Breed, mayor of San Francisco, says, we're going to handle this. We talked about Union Square yesterday in San Francisco. We're going to limit vehicle traffic to that area. So now everybody has to walk further and deal with the inconvenience so that the theft mob thugs don't drive right up to the store after they smash the window and steal everything and are able to drive away. That's their plan. That's part of the plan, at least in San Francisco. It's outrageous.
It's failed. It's a failed policy. And it's happening everywhere, all over the country. I saw the videos from Rodeo Drive where people were just walking right in and stealing things. And it's getting worse and worse everywhere. And what is going to happen? This is my argument. I turned to my wife during Yellowstone the other night. I was watching it, Buck. And Yellowstone, I know you haven't watched it, but Yellowstone, there are, I would say, almost vigilante cops that, or livestock agents, for lack of a better way of describing it. But they take the law into their own hands when justice is not otherwise being meted out. I think, remember they were canceling cops on television, Joe? They were trying to do away with the what's the show? You're not going to know. Paw Patrol, because they had a cop character. They're like, oh, can we have a cop puppy on this show? There is going to be, in short order and rapid fashion, a swing back in the direction of, we want badass cops out protecting our streets, kicking ass of criminals and putting them in prison for years and years. White, black, Asian, Hispanic people are all going to be demanding it. And the AOCs of the world, the Ilhan Omars, all of these people who've been saying, oh, we got to clean out all the federal prisons. You know, that's their plan. They want the entire federal prison system empty. That's their plan.
Rashida Tlaib is pushing this very aggressively. And then when asked about it,
by Axios, to their credit,
that's
Jonathan
right.
Swan,
Jonathan
I think,
Swan,
interviewing
yeah.
her.
When asked about it, says, oh, but it's going to be sort of a phased in thing. And yeah, but you still want to empty out the federal prisons. I mean, there are people in federal prison who are there because they were crossing state lines with, you know, severed heads in the trunk, lady. I mean, give me a break. We're going to empty the federal prisons. The people that think
Madness.
These things have never been the victim of a violent crime themselves. The politicians and the media jerks that push this stuff, they've never had somebody they know robbed, raped, murdered. They don't know what it's like to
go
through that.
They have private security.
And of course, they've got private and armed security. And they simply think that we're paying the price as a society. It's all of our faults, you see, Clay. They diffuse the responsibility for criminality on all of us. This has been a left-wing approach to crime for a long time. And it also makes everybody feel unsafe and miserable and therefore more likely to be open to radical plans and radical changes, right? You immiserate the population. This is Marx. This is how they do it. You immiserate the population and then they're much more willing, at least a portion of it will be much more willing to go along with crazy ideas because, well, this is awful, right?
You so, also threaten, Buck, every white male politician who raises any issue about this as being racist. That's the immediate attack. That's why Joe Biden walked back his comments about the jury in the Rittenhouse case and had to issue a statement talking about how angry he was. That's why Bill de Blasio, who is a feckless, pathetic leader, is terrified of anybody in New York City if he decides to bring back stop and frisk or bring back plainclothes police. They're terrified they're going to get called racist, Buck. White male politicians who are Democrats, first of all, I have no idea how they can even still call themselves Democrats. They're terrified of their own party coming after them.
This is the way it is, folks. It's going to continue to play out with Democrats trying to explain to you that they're not responding. They're going to say it's the pandemic. They're going to say it's failed systems and failed policing. No, they are causing failure within the system, and we can all see it. And San Francisco is just one example of it. There are so many cities across the country where this mentality is having terrible effect. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is making the holidays brighter for our nation's Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children and severely injured veterans and first responders. For many of these families, the holidays are a tough reminder of the sacrifice their hero made for us. The foundation is giving away at least a home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. This is their season of hope. With each mortgage-free home, the foundation is delivering on its promise to do good and never forget. For some of these families, they have the comfort of knowing they can stay in the home that they picked with their loved one, the home where they made precious holiday memories. For families in a new home, they're creating memories they'll cherish forever. But Clay, how is it possible?
Yeah, Buck, all this is possible because of your generosity. You know, our listeners have given over $5 million to Tunnel to Towers. You can help add to that number by supporting America's greatest heroes and their families. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday. Encourage you to download the podcast. Help us set a new record for podcast downloads in November. I know a lot of you are going to be on the road, and there may be an opportunity for many of you to catch up on some of our interviews. By the way, Newt Gingrich going to join us in the next segment, and then we're going to be joined by our friend Will Kane from Fox News in the third hour of the program. I think you guys will enjoy both of those. Want to give a shout out. We talk a lot about things that are done wrong, and one of the things we try to do on this show is be happy warriors and also praise people who are doing good in the face sometimes of challenges. And I don't know how many of you have paid any attention to what's been going on in China as it pertains to a missing tennis star. And I may mispronounce her name. I believe her name is Ping Shui. She won a women's French Open doubles title, accused a prominent communist figure in the Chinese government of sexual assault, and basically vanished. And then something interesting happened. Unlike in the NBA, where when they spoke out, one of their general managers did for Hong Kong Freedom, and LeBron James and Adam Silver and all the people in positions of prominence in the NBA, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, all them shut up and dribbled and just bowed to the altar of Chinese dictatorships. Something interesting happened in the Women's Tennis Association. Serena Williams and many other top tennis players, Naomi Osaka, Chris Everett, they all spoke out and said that this was unacceptable that she had vanished. And the leader of the WTA, he actually said that he was willing to risk hundreds of millions of dollars in Chinese contracts over being willing to stand up and speak truth to power. Amen. Power to the WTA. And Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton has taken it a step further, and he says that Americans should boycott the Beijing Winter Games, which, remember, are going to take place in February. Let's play cut 12 here. I love seeing sports figures not follow the NBA lead and finally standing up to Chinese dictators for their lies. Play cut 12.
If the Chinese Communist Party will take its own athletes and disappear them and then march them out in hostage videos like this, what will they do to our athletes? This is a regime that is committing genocide against its own people. We should not be doing anything to celebrate or honor China with these Olympics games.
Amen, Buck. And I know you're not a huge sports fan, but doesn't it make you feel a little bit better to see American athletes finally stand up to China as opposed to bowing down to them?
Yeah, I'm definitely not a huge Chinese Communist Party fan. That's for damn sure. So, yeah, absolutely. And it's nice that there are some people who understand that, you know, you can't just, well, what we've seen with celebrities in the social media era and athletes, celebrities, same thing, is they love to take stands that are just going to get them more acclaim and popularity. Amen. Right? They love to do things that cost them nothing. We have a term for this, virtue signaling.
Yes.
This is trying to get more of what they already have under the pretense of being brave, right? Under with the make-believe hero position. And when you're actually saying stuff about the Chinese Communist Party as an NBA player, when you'll speak out against it, you are putting your money where your mouth is. You're doing something that could have negative consequences and ramifications for you. And, you know, we are in a very fortunate period right now. We're not in a war in this country, or, you know, I'm not in a, you know, an actual conflict overseas. You know, the war on parents and everything that the DOJ may have is a different kind of war. But we are not in a war, and we're in a period of peace. But the narrative of what China is doing internally and externally is something that everyone needs to be familiar with and understand where this is going, because we are heading for not necessarily armed conflict, but cultural, economic, and political collision with China in ways that we need to be prepared for today.
There's no doubt. And sports can be an important signal in what we're willing to accept. And so I think, again, when you've got LeBron James and Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich and Adam Silver, all these people in positions of prominence that are bowing down to Chairman Xi, I want to make sure that we lift up people like Serena Williams, Naomi Osaka, Chris Evert, and many other people involved in the Women's Tennis Association for actually being willing to stand up here, as well as Steve Simon, who's in charge of the WTA. Props to those guys for fighting the right fight.
Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has an amazing company that has products that you will love. I have them all over my house. I've got them on my bed. I've got them on the couch. They've got so much amazing stuff. Clay loves them, too. And you can trust Mike to get you a great night's sleep. His pillows won't go flat. You can wash and dry them constantly. And they're made here in the USA. Plus, Mike doesn't bow to cancel culture. So stand with him. For a limited time, Mike Lindell's offering his MyPillows, the ones that started it all, for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard MyPillow for $19.98, originally $69.98. That's a $50 savings with promo code ClayAndBuck. That's right, $50 savings when you use promo code ClayAndBuck. But there's so many products, you got to go check them out for yourself. Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials, enter promo code ClayAndBuck, or call 800-792-3269, 800-792-3269. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are diving deep into the latest on out-of-control crime situation in a lot of American cities, plus updates on a lot of stories, including, I mean, I would like to know where we are with Waukesha after yesterday the media telling us, you know, the general news consensus was, oh, there'll be a press conference, Clay. And, you know, I remember this. I remember doing a hit on CNN years ago, back when CNN used to actually have conservatives on, but I was doing counterterrorism analysis. And I remember it was the day of, it was Bastille Day in France back in 2016. And there was that truck that killed 87 people, right? And it was clearly a terror attack from the moment it happened. And I was on with a bunch, you know, a couple of former, you know, former generals, woke generals, of course, and some academic who was an idiot who didn't know anything. And one after another, this is, and I mean, this is in the immediate hours after this mass catch, 87 people died, mass casualty attack. And one after another, their analysis is some version of, this is what happens when you don't have good enough assimilation in Europe. Essentially a version of, you know, hey, you know, there's a lot of white supremacy, but this is in the European context, and this is the price you pay. I mean, they were, it was horrifying. They came to me finally, and I said, I mean, we got to find where these jihadist lunatics are ASAP. We got to go warheads on foreheads. We got to find their associates. We got to lock them up forever. We are in a war for our civilization. And I just, I remember a couple of days later, there was two guys, turned out they were a married couple, same-sex couple, and they saw me. They came running over, and they said, we saw you on CNN. And I was like, ready for, I didn't know even what they were.
Yeah.
They said, we saw you on CNN, sir. And they're like, why is everyone else on that panel crazy? That was horrible what they were saying. Like, you're the only one who made any sense. And I was like, and by the way, they said, they're like, we're liberals, but that was insane. We're like high-fiving and stuff. It was great. But this is the narrative creation that the media does in the aftermath of horrible attacks like this is so obvious. How could it be the case? How could it be possible we're a day later and this guy, Brooks, who's a mass murderer charged with five counts of homicide, ran his car through this entire parade of people? We've heard nothing about the motive. The motive they gave us of escaping a knife incident is not credible. Now, I can't say what the motive is, but I do know that there's story about how this was his escape plan from some other thing that nothing happened and no one even knows what they're talking about. That is not believable. So how is it that we're supposed to immediately move on? We know there's a lot of politics going on. We know there are a lot of people that want to shift the story away from Rittenhouse's not guilty verdict and a lot of things happening here. Are we just supposed to forget about this? I think they're going to retreat into, we may never know the motive, Clay. That's what they'll say. We'll never know.
You don't accidentally hit people with a car. Let's just start there, okay? This is not some situation. When you drive through a parade at 30 or 40 miles an hour and you are accelerating, and clearly if you watch that awful video, attempting to strike innocent people in a parade, it ain't an accident. And Buck, I'm sorry, I just don't buy the idea. First of all, the police have now said there was no hot pursuit. It's not as if there was a police car chasing him and he made a turn and the next thing you know, he's driving through, mowing down all these people. There's nobody chasing him. He already knew, based on the lenient treatment that he had gotten from the idiot Milwaukee district attorney, that all he'd had to do was post $1,000 bail for vehicular assault and being involved in a domestic incident. And you're telling me that he was so terrified of the potential consequences of an alleged knife-related incident that he decided to mow through and hit dozens of people, kill five people, and that wasn't in some way intentional? I just don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
And I think it's a lie that we're being seen.
And I do have to say, when you line up what is so clear here with the way that they established a narrative that was what the left wanted to hear and believe about Kyle Rittenhouse right away.
Oh, yeah.
Based on lies. They lied for over a year.
They're still selling.
And they're still lying. They're still selling this falsehood, these different falsehoods about Kyle Rittenhouse. And now somehow, if you want to understand, for everyone listening, the disparity in media megaphones and media power, the game they play is, how dare anyone even speculate about motive here? That's reckless. How dare you say anything about Brooks, the mass murderer in Waukesha? Well, you don't know. You don't know. Okay, well, I want to know. I'm not going to forget about this. The families are devastated who lost loved ones in this incident.
They'll never recover.
It's never going to be the same for them. There are people who have horrible injuries from this. You know, there was some story about a little girl who asked the doctors to, you know, piece her back together. She's in the hospital. Where's the news coverage of this? They had a RNC is funding some of Trump's legal defense story on CNN while we were doing this show, Clay. I haven't seen anything on Waukesha. Nothing at all. And I'm sorry, but it's because they don't want people thinking about what happened. They don't want people coming to the obvious conclusion that at a minimum, the recklessness, stupidity, and ideological insanity of a left-wing prosecutor like this guy Chisholm, who we know is a bad dude because of what he did to Scott Walker 10 years ago. The Wall Street Journal was writing a piece of it. They did great work on this about these John Doe raids. If anyone doesn't know about the John Doe raids and Scott Walker, please go back. It was Soviet style. It was kicking in someone's front door at 5 a.m. for someone who did nothing wrong, taking all their electronics, all their equipment, and saying, you tell anybody about this, we'll throw you in prison for breaking a court order. That's what they were doing to people. That same DA lets this guy out, so there's obvious recklessness there. But Clay, I mean, the motivation, this guy has BLM, I hate white people, anti-Semitic stuff all over his social media, and we're supposed to assume that is not to be discussed here. That's reckless to talk about. Why? The same people who made up that Kyle Rittenhouse was in a militia and a white supremacist are telling us don't pay any attention to this career criminal's huge backstory of hating Trump supporters and having an anti-white animus.
It is another example of a story that gets memory hold. That's what's going on here, Buck. this story is going to get memory hold. They're going to hope that people forget it. They're going to say, I think you're right. We don't really know why he made this decision. It was a deranged lunatic deciding to kill people, which, by the way, I think is true. But still, his motivation matters. You know that if this exact same story had happened and this had been a parade celebrating, let's say, a majority black institution, if it was homecoming, it would be immediately a race-based crime. As soon as you flip it, nobody will even discuss it. It is an example of how broken our national discourse is. By the way, this Friday, celebrate softness season by stocking up on your favorite Tommy John underwear, loungewear, and pajamas. When you start your day wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Shop their Black Friday sale right now ahead of this Friday and give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, including yourself. Tommy John men's and women's loungewear. 16 million pairs sold. Giving the gift of Tommy John underwear and loungewear has become a holiday tradition for families all over the country, which is why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. We're proudly two of them. This holiday, make everybody in your family that much more comfortable with the gift of Tommy John loungewear. Every gift backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Buck, how do you get hooked up?
Go get 20% off for a limited time only at TommyJohn.com/buck. During Tommy John's Black Friday sale, that's right, 20% off site-wide. You just have to go to TommyJohn.com/buck, TommyJohn.com/buck. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Couple of days in advance of Thanksgiving. Hope you are either soon to be or already with your friends and family getting ready for a Thanksgiving feast. One, by the way, that will end up costing quite a bit more than any Thanksgiving has ever cost before. My father-in-law is already with me here in Florida, and he owns a meatpacking plant in Michigan, outside of Detroit. And I tweeted this out last night, Buck. He was talking. He came over and he shared an email with me. And he said, hey, you know, I know you guys have been talking about inflation a lot on the show and whatnot. And he said, I just want you to see what's going on when it comes to my cost for his meatpacking plant. He showed me an email invoice, said January of 2020, Buck, a turkey breast cost him $1.15 a pound, January of 2021, it's all the way up to $3.73 for the same turkey per pound. That is pretty crazy to think about, a one-year increase of what that has ended up costing him. And I said, what's the practical impact? And he said people who are buying meat are paying a vast inflation tax as a result of how much more this is costing. That's direct in my own family. My father-in-law employs, 100 people in Detroit at the meatpacking plant. And it's pretty staggering just to look at the tangible impact there. I know a lot of people want to weigh in, variety of different issues. Let me give you a roadmap. Hour three, going to dive back into the Kyle Rittenhouse, everything that happened on it, going on in Waukesha. And also we'll talk probably about this Thomas Jefferson statue getting pulled and all the craziness that's going on there. But first, a lot of people want to weigh in with us, right?
Let's get Daryl in Clay's hometown of Nashville, one of my favorite places, too, by the way. Daryl, what's going on?
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to tell Clay real quick, I'm wearing his BDEP T-shirt.
Great taste. Yes, appreciate that.
just a couple comments, or a comment in particular regarding the escalation of all the smash and grabs and the crime surrounding that. A lot of high-end retailers, but just retail in general, getting picked on quite a bit. And I've got a bit of a background in retail management, but also particularly with private protection. And I predicted this. We're starting to see it more and more, and some of it does not always get reported in detail, particularly on mainstream media. But with whether it's a couple of guys going in and, a liquor store or particularly a mob, we're starting to see the violence accompany the theft.
Yeah.
And associates that, a retail female at 100 pounds that all she's doing is putting her hands up and she's been struck or threatened with a weapon. There's been some tacklings. There's been some serious injury. And, we saw this coming. And where I've got a concern, and some retailers that I have shopped with, even in Nashville, that have allowed, not just the West Coast, but have allowed or instructed their employees to stand down. They don't have on-site security. And they've emboldened this behavior to where we know it's going to continue to escalate. And they literally just walk out with whatever they want. And it's going to continue to evolve. And, it's we've got to put our feet down and maybe embrace the, the rooftop Koreans to some degree from LA years ago. But, something's got to change. And,
You got to assume, Daryl, right, that if anyone, let's say a clerk, I got to tell you, the drugstore that's right next to my house, and Daryl, thank you for calling in from Nashville, the drugstore that's right next to my house, Clay, pretty much everything is under lock and key when you go inside. Anything that you want to buy, and I've talked to the staff there because I go in there all the time because it's right next to where I live, and, you have to press a button, they have to walk, they have to open it up for you. And I just said, does this really help us? I said, well, it helps a little bit, but if we don't do this, the shelves are empty because of all the theft that goes on. And you have to, of certain things, right? It's razor blade cartridges. It's, there are certain items that are very resellable and have some, monetary value. If you were in a situation though, where you work in one of these stores, and let's say, you step in front of the doorway, you say, hey, you've got a bag full of our stuff. What are you allowed to do? I couldn't tell somebody, if you lay hands on that person, are you opening yourself up to being sued? If you're in San Francisco and you're a store owner and someone's taking your stuff and you tackle them to the ground, can you trust the district attorney in, Chesa Boudin in San Francisco isn't going to decide to charge you with assault? Remember, the narrative is it's just property. What's the big deal? That's what the left believes.
Oh, not only that, Buck. A viral video of you tackling somebody that's been edited down to 15 or 20 seconds. You're a racist. And you don't think BLM matters. We saw this happen in New York City at the restaurant. Remember how they were protesting the restaurant? The Asian woman out in front of the restaurant asked for vaccine cards and ended up a huge brawl there. And they said, oh, she's racist. This 24-year-old, I think it was, Asian woman said, no, I was just asking for cards. And the caller from Nashville there, I've got a friend who works in a Nordstrom in a really nice neighborhood in the Nashville area. That said, people are walking in, Buck, with wire cutters and mace and conducting in broad daylight full-on robberies, cutting high-end purses out with wire cutters, spraying mace, walking right out. Nobody does anything to them. In a great neighborhood in Nashville, and if it's happening in my hometown, and we know it's happening in the San Franciscos and the LAs and the New Yorks of the world, everybody out there listening to us right now just about has heard or seen a situation similar happening in their large city that they live near.
We got Rob in Denver, Colorado, or Denver, is there Denver, California? No, you mean Colorado, right? It says California on there.
It's Colorado, boys.
Yeah, that's
Colorado.
What I thought. I was like, I don't think there's a Denver, California, but you never know in some of those really small towns. Denver, Colorado, what's going on, Rob?
Well, I wanted to remind you guys, you had mentioned that the media just doesn't want to talk about this situation in Wisconsin, and that they'd like it to all kind of wish it all into the cornfield, they could go away. That actually happened here in Colorado. If you remember, last spring, there was a grocery store up in Boulder that was attacked by a Syrian immigrant, and he killed 10 people. And the last thing that they would want to have in Boulder, the great People's Republic of Boulder, is a trial where his motivations would have been made public. So what they did is they made this guy, they declared him incompetent for trial. And he
Well, if you remember that, so thank you for the call. If you remember that story, Buck, initially all the blue checks said, oh, this is what happens when a white guy gets mad. He just walks into Boulder because they had a footage and you couldn't tell the guy was a Syrian immigrant, right? They thought he was just a white guy. And they were like, I'm so sick of all these angry white guys just going in and killing people. And then, oh, by the way, it's a Syrian immigrant. The story comes out. And he's right. The story vanished from the People's Republic of Boulder.
It's all about what the stories they want to tell and the stories they don't. Rob, thank you for calling in. Can I just note something, Clay, before I get all the Denver. There's 19, according to the internet, places in America named Denver. There's a Denver, West Virginia. There are Denvers all over the place. So I just learned something new today.
There, it doesn't surprise me at all. And by the way, we get, like, I'm assuming it said CA instead of CO on your call screen there. Yeah, that's the reason.
So everyone knows.
I'm defending
you. Buck doesn't know geography unless it's the Middle East.
Buck thinks Denver's in California.
I'm just saying.
Idiot.
There isn't one in California, but there is in West Virginia, and there are in some other states.
Paris in Tennessee.
There you go. I hear it is a lovely place this time of year.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 3 is coming up. It's going to be amazing.